in this chapter.
I'm trying to figure out because I wouldn't hear that story.
Judgment. Judgment upon whom?
Babylon.
Who is Babylon?
The world religious system.
The world false religious system. It's a copycat of the real thing. That, you know, any religion that Jesus Christ is not the center of is a false religion. Amen. Any religion that Jesus Christ is not the center of is a false religion. Because Jesus Christ is our only way. He is the only way of salvation. He is the only one that can take you to the presence of God and keep you out of hell forever. There are no shortcuts. There are no side going around one way or the other. There just aren't any shortcuts. You must go through Jesus Christ to be saved. And any religion that does not do that is a false religion. Now, am I being bigoted by saying that? It's just exactly what the Word of God says. We are supposed to teach the Word of God alone. Mm-hmm. That's our rule of faith and ordering. Baptists have believed one thing all down through the ages. They have believed in bashing people over the heads with the Bible. Over in Australia, I remember this. Well, I have a friend that came to Australia, from Australia, and went to school with me. And Ray, Ray Johnson. His family came into Australia on the prison ships. It was a prison colony. And he traced his lineage all the way back to them. And over there, they call the Baptists the Bible bashers. The Bible bashers. They just shake that Bible at people. And it's a derogatory term. Because most religions, their dogma, and what is dogma? What is dogma?
Doctrine.
Their doctrine or their dogma is something extra-biblical.
It is?
Extra-biblical.
Extremist?
Well, in some extreme way, extra-biblical. Seventh-day Adventist. Who is it founded on?
Ellen White.
And her interpretation of the Scriptures. All right, you see, they're very powerful, influential, but is Jesus Christ the center of that? Simple as not. It just isn't. It's something. The center of that religion is the Sabbath. And Jesus is our Sabbath. He is our Sabbath. We rest in Him. We rest in the merits and the works of Jesus Christ, not in any interpretation of the Scriptures. Paul had problems with the Judaizers in his day, didn't he? Every letter he wrote was a condemnation to the Judaizers, and Paul and Peter even. And Peter was a Judaizer, wasn't he? What is a Judaizer? Remember what that one is? Brother Don?
That's one who... Well, it depends on what context you use it. But yeah. In the New Testament context, it's one who wanted to mix the law with grace.
That's right. It's mixed works and grace, and the law with grace. You can't do that. Grace is of grace, Paul says, or it is not of grace.
Right.
Once it becomes the grace plus something else, it is no longer grace. And that's where you have your Arminian religions. Grace plus works. Grace plus works is what? Nullified. Nullifies the work of Jesus Christ. It simply does. It's either by grace or it's by works. It can't be a mixture of those things at all. Well, this false religious system, this is the epitome of the false religious system that has raged down to the ages all the way from the days of Cain. Cain was a false religionist, wasn't he? He's religious. He made an offering to God, didn't he? But was it the offering that God wanted? No. God had specified in His Word what He wanted from Cain, but Cain didn't want to go that way. He wanted to do it His way. He wanted to do it the way He thought, not the way that God specified. We find that all the way down through the ages here. Come all the way down through the ages. God has a specific way. He has rules. He has a rule book. And that rule book is what? The Word of God. And Jesus, as he spoke to the Judaizers in his day, he said, "You've made my word null and void with your doctrines, the doctrines of men." That was the religion that God had, that was the administrators of God's kingdom. And they were supposed to accept the Messiah when he came and be joyful that God had sent the Messiah, because the Messiah was the fulfillment of all the scriptures of the law and the prophets and the Psalms. But they murdered him because they didn't want God's religion. They wanted their own religion. And they said, if we don't get rid of this man, he is going to mess up our religion and our nation. And when they got rid of Jesus, what happened? They lost their religion, and they lost their nation, and even their national identity, because they were scattered throughout the world. Jews were so cheap on the slave market after that period of time that you couldn't afford to feed one. It reminds me of the cotton prices today. You can't afford to plant it. You can't afford to water it. You can't afford to harvest it. What did Jim say, your friend Jim say, that the farmers out there by him were doing? Plowing it under. They couldn't afford to even harvest it. You can't. Jews were so cheap on the slave market. There were so many of them just dumped on the market all at one time. Talking about the stock market, we're talking about the Jew market. That there were so many dumped them on there that they, people that had 30 or 40 of them going to sell them, that they just let them stay in the cages until they died, because they couldn't afford to feed them, because it cost more to feed them than what they were worth. Isn't that something? 18 and verse 5. Hosea. And while they play song, Altais, Hay, Amartiae, Akri, Tu, Uranu, Hai, Emne, Mone, Monusim, Ho, Theos, Ta, Adeke, Mata, Altais. Because, that's a little conjunction or casual particle. You'll look it up on page 294, but again, you don't have your book open.
No, I don't.
Good. That's the one you're going to use to teach from, isn't it? That's where you need it. Because they joined together. Look at this word. Kawao. That means to glue something together. To put something together. They have been joined together of her, the sins, to make things fit. Her sins that fit together. You remember when they were building real good furniture, they had dovetail drawers in them? You know what that's what it's talking about. To make fit together. Alright? The sins of her have been joined together up unto heaven. They've been piled up and joined together to make before the stink of them reach to heaven. God, in the days of the Tower of Babel, in the days of the Tower of Babel, God had, what was the commandment that God had given mankind at that period of time? What did he tell man to do? Be fruitful, peri patio, walk down the land. Get out and depend upon me every day, and I will feed you and be nomads in the land. If you study medicine and science, you'll find out that people living in a lightly populated area are a lot more healthy than those crammed together in cities. And God said, if you cram yourself together in cities, you're going to have problems. That's what he later told Israel, too. He said, if you'll just do what I tell you, everything's going to be all right. But if you don't, all these diseases and things are going to be added unto you. Told them, spread out, walk down the line. So what did they do? Nimrod and his bunch, his cohorts. They built a big city with a tower that ascended all the way into heaven. It was a monument to the name of his family. Brother, we're in 18 and verse 5. All the way to heaven. And then, again, God had to judge, didn't He? Judgment. Judgment. What did God do? What was His judgment?
Confounded the languages.
He confounded the languages. What else did He do?
He
what?
Scattered them.
He divided the earth. In the days of Peleg, God divided the earth. Why did He do it? He said, these people are so radical and fanatic about what they're doing. If we don't do something, nothing will be impossible to them. They will just totally do it. And what happened in the days of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? God had a child of God in that city, didn't He? What was his name?
Lot.
Do you know that from reading the Old Testament, that if you read the Old Testament and read about Lot's life, that I don't think that you can come up that that man was saved from that part of Scripture. From the Old Testament Scriptures, you can't prove that Lot was saved, can you, Brother Don? But you have to wait till the New Testament, and it says righteous Lot, or Lot, vexed his righteous soul by living among that filth. What was the filth? Homosexuality, thievery,
debauchery.
He, Abraham, and Lot, they left the Ur of the Chaldees together. Didn't they? They left Ur of the Chaldees, which is Persia, basically. And they went into this land. And Lot says, Abraham said to Lot, he said, Lot, we're having a lot of problems here. He said, your men and my men and our families just can't get together. We're going to have to divide and go two different directions because we can't get together. God makes divisions sometimes, doesn't He? Because of bad influence. He makes divisions so things have to be split because of bad influence. God wants His people separate and different. So, Abraham told Lot. Do you remember the story of what he said to him?
You
pick where you want to go. And Lot looked up and he says, look at that green grass. Out there in that beautiful valley. Look at that green grass. I think I'll just have that over there. And looked over there and it was old hills and wilderness. Right around that. He said, I'll just take this over here if it's all right with you. I'll suffer and take this part of the land, Abraham. So Abraham said, whatever you say. So we went down in these cities. Well, there were cities, and sin was rampant. And God later told Lot, get out of there. Get out. Well, what was Lot in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? What was he? What was his occupation? One of the major occupations that he had. What was he? He sat in the gate. Who sat in the gate? The judges. He was a commissioner. He was a judge of the city. Well, how come there's so much sin going on if here's a judge supposed to be born again? Well, Lot said, God told Lot, get out. Get out of that city. Leave it. Leave it be. Because I am going to destroy it. Even Abraham interceded for the bunch of gunsels. But it didn't happen, did it? Lot had some daughters, didn't he? He had two daughters. And he had a wife. And his two daughters were espoused to two men. They're engaged. And the two men that his daughters were engaged to didn't even believe their father-in-law's story about God going to judge the city. They laughed at him. They said, you're a judge of this city and God's going to judge the city? How come you're a judge and God's going to judge the city if you're so righteous and everything? We don't believe you. Because he had no testimony, did he? God told him to get out there. He came down himself and led him out of that city. The angels that came down to lead Lot out, those people wanted to commit acts of fornication and homosexuality were there. What happened? What did God do to him right then? They came and they were going to ransack and break down Lot's door. And what did God do to them?
Blinded them.
And said, get out of here and don't look back. Isn't that what we should do when we're saved? Get out of that and don't look back. Leave it be because it was taking you to hell. Lot left. He didn't look back, but his wife did. And it said, she became a pillar of salt. It says, until that day. And you know what they went and found looking at the old city of Sodom and Gomorrah, looking around the Dead Sea area, and you know what they found there? A gigantic deposit of salt. Just a large, well, you know, there's a lot of salt in that city anyway, and other chemicals, but there was a pillar or a bank of pure salt in this one area. And they said, that's where it could be. These are archaeologists now. Mm-hmm. And they're taking the Bible and saying, well, maybe it did happen. They're not specifically Christian, but they read the Bible and they read this and they said, well, this is where this is supposed to happen. And there's salt deposit right here. I mean, there's salt, potassium, all kinds of stuff all over the place. But right here is specifically a salt deposit. And what did God do to that city? He leveled it. Now, this is extra biblical, what I'm going to tell you right now. But I had a friend named Walt West that worked for a American Oil Company. He went over there and they core drilled in that area. And they core drilled into that right near that Dead Sea, and they core drilled into a place down there that had been zapped so hard with atomic energy that clay pots had just been melted together and burned. And not only that, but the samples they took up were radioactive. They still had the radiation of the destruction of what took place by God at that time. Well, she turned in the pillar of salt. Lot and his two daughters left out of there. Finally, they got their father drunk and had children by their own father. That was a saved man. We wouldn't know that if it wasn't for the New Testament. God drug him out of there. He wanted to live in cities. You know where he ended up living? In caves. In caves. The stink of the sins were up to heaven. They raised up to heaven. And what it says? And it says, and God, I'm putting in God here, because it's over there, Ophios, he remembered the unrighteousness of her. The unjust acts. The sinful acts of the false religious system. What has false religion done since the days of Cain? What?
Sought out to kill.
It persecuted the truth. What did Cain do to Abel? Abel was representative of the truth. Cain was representative of false religion. And Cain killed Abel. All the false religious systems down through the ages always persecuted the truth. All the way down. During the church age, from AD 30, on this way, what happened during that period of time? False religion has coexisted with the truth, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. All the time. And what has false religion done? It has persecuted truth. False religion always tries to line itself up with the state to get the power of the state. And here in the book of Revelation, we have the epitome of that false religious system, because that false religious system is lined up with the Antichrist. Antichrist. What does Antichrist mean?
Against Christ.
Against the Lord. It means, well, it means against Christ. It also can mean opposed to Christ, or it can mean like Christ, or like Christ, a false Christ, all right? A false Christ. And what does the Bible say? There are many false Christs and many antichrists gone out in the world already. But there is one that is called the false Christ, the Antichrist in the last days. The injustices. The word dikaio in Greek means to judge. I judge. And when it's got an alpha in front of it, what does that mean? An alpha is a what?
Negative.
A negative. All right? So you don't judge. You don't judge. This means I judge. And when you judge according to the rules, you should judge correctly. But when you put the alpha on the front of it, it means that you judge unjustly. Every decision that is made by this false religious system all down through the ages has been against Christ and against God's people. All the way down through the ages. The injustices of her, the unrighteous acts, the sinful acts of her. We talked about the sinful acts of the espoused bride of God in the Old Testament. Jeremiah is full of it, isn't it? We see one man, one Old Testament prophet, even was told by God, go out and marry yourself to a prostitute. Because I want Israel to see what they're doing to me. And he went out and married this prostitute and showed that was a type. Why, Jeremiah, Isaiah, these many times they acted out what the prophecies that God told them to bring against that nation. That was God's bride. His espoused bride. But she flopped, didn't she? You have to give her a great big F for failure. F for failure. Israel failed. One thing about the church age, the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ are going to exist from the foundation until the Lord comes back to them, because it's built upon Him as their foundation, not upon mankind. If it's built upon Peter, he flopped. Paul flopped. But Jesus never has flopped. Never has. Never has flopped. 18 and verse 6. I'll share this little thing with you because it's funny. Last week I had to go to the superintendent of schools and be certified as a reading and tutor teacher in Kern County, in all the Kern County schools. They have a big list of the schools. And I went down and we had to take some tests and go through a seminar and everything. And they had a little booklet written up there, and they were teaching us, and we were supposed to teach each other how to read and all this. And we were going to see if we're reliable tutors to put in classrooms, see? So we could be certified as a teacher in the classroom. So I went down there with all these other people around, and I happened to sit down right by the woman, and I didn't even know her, that was with the Lakeside School where I teach. And I sat down there, and they gave us this little book to read to each other. And we were supposed to buddy up, and so the superintendent of the schools came over there with us. And also, so we were three that were buddied together like this, and here was this book. And they said, now I want you to try to decipher this book. And try to read to each other, because I'm going to show you how hard it is for children to learn how to read. And the book was written in Greek letters. But they were English words. And I ran down through that thing, just reading that book, just like that. Just I just read it full force like that. And the woman that certifies everybody from Kern County, that I don't know what she's called. Anyway, she's up there and she says, what's going on over there? And she came over there and I said, I'm just reading this, and everybody, all of them pile around me like this. And we're reading this thing and it's nothing. I'm reading this out like this and she says, nobody's ever done this before. And she said, how are you doing that? Like this to me, and I said, I teach Greek. And she said, she told the superintendent, or the, what do you call them, superintendent of the school, she said, he's certified. Call them. I said, that doesn't mean anything. I may not be able to teach English and all, but I said, I teach Greek. It was easy.
Yeah,
it was funny.
Greek class for the third grade and all of Greek time.
Well, I do teach them a little Greek, the etymology. And this last week, I got to teach them some Greek words. One of them was seen, because of the prefixes. See that? All the prefixes. And another one. Money. So that was pretty good, wasn't it? So I bring that out, and we were studying the other day, and one of the things that we were studying down there when I was teaching these things, I try to say things to children and to you that will stick in your mind. Remember when we studied the word karata? You remember what karata means? Let's see if you remember. Carry. But what it means born. See there? So when we came to this word carry, I said, this is an old word, guys. It's a really old word, and it means horn. The kids couldn't read this word like that. It means horn. And I said, what kind of a vegetable looks like horn? Carrot! I said, that's what it means, a carrot. That's a carrot right there. So they'll remember those things like that. I try to do the same thing to you guys when I'm teaching you this. 18 and verse 6. Alphadote. Alte. Pos. Kai. Alte. Alte. Doken. Kai. Diplosate. And by the way, here's this word ta. Is that in your?
Yeah.
Okay, ta is in brackets. It actually wasn't there. But that's what you call an understood or a practical substantive. You can put it there even though it isn't there. And somebody that copied the manuscript put it in. And that's why it's got these double brackets around. Because it really, it's not there, but it's understood. In Greek, yeah, you can put the dove there. Diplo. Kata. Ta. Erga. Altes. And to, poterio, ho, ekrosen, karostet sate, halte, diplome. All right. This little word here, this apodote, that means it's second person plural, second aorist, imperative and active. Let's look at that. Grammar, just for a second, okay? Second person plural, who is that? Ye. That's you plural, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right? Ye. Second person plural, ye, and then apo. What's apo? We even have it in English, apo.
Apo?
Apo.
That's with?
From. 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 Or to. All right? From or to, and divinity. Didomi. Didomi. That means to give. This word is made up of two Greek words, apo and didomi. And it means to give back. To give from. To give back. To return. All right? And it says, ye give back, second person plural, second aorist. What's aorist tense? What does that typify? Or punctiliar action. Do it right now, this time in history, okay? An imperative mode. What's that?
Command.
That's a mode of command, all right? An active voice. A flat statement of fact, all right? You give back to her. You pay her back. I'll pay, that's dainty, singular, feminine, third person, plural noun. That's what that little word, I'll pay, is there. And then it's host. You give back to her in the same way or just as. That's what that word host means. You can look it up on page 444 in the Analytical Greek Lexicon if you want to. It means the same as or just as or in juxtaposition, just like it. Okay? Just as, and then we have the word kai. Look at that word kai. Usually it means and. But here it means it's like a particle of affirmation. What's a particle of affirmation? Indeed, yes, truly. Okay? You give back to her indeed, or truly, or absolutely, as she gave back, all right, and you double. You double it. Second person, plural, first aorist, imperative active. That comes from diplo. You double it. False religion has always persecuted truth, all the way down to the end. You know what's going to cost her in the end? Double trouble. Double trouble. That's exactly. You give her double trouble for what she's done. You pour it on her head twice as bad as what she gave back. You give her interest. The devil's going to receive interest in hell. Did you know that? Interest in hell. You double, the things double according to the works, the ergo. Look at that word, ta ergo. Ta ergo. Ergo. What's ergo?
Energy.
Energy. Our word energy comes from this kind of this word. What do you do when you energize yourself in doing something? That work is a product of energy or a product of employment. Okay? A product of employment. How do you employ yourself? How do you employ yourself? Are you the representative of the kingdom of God that you should be? Is there standards in your life? Does God draw standards in your life? Or you just go any way that hunt with any dog that goes that day? Huh? You know what you do? You know when I used to do a lot of coon hunting a long time ago. And we used to run dogs in the hills. If you had a good coon dog, the best way to make a good coon dog is never let him learn bad habits. You don't want your coon dog chasing skunks, or he's going to smell like one. I guarantee you. You don't want your coon dog chasing deer because you'll never catch one. And you sure don't want your coon dog chasing somebody's cow because he's going to get in a lot of trouble. You have to not go hunting with people's dogs that do those things. You have to draw lines of demarcation. And they can't go hunting with you. You're not just going to go up there and just dump your dogs out with just anybody to hunt with you. Because when you do that, then your dog is no good anymore. It's been destroyed. It's been contaminated. All right? Contaminated. You double to her the works in the cup in which she mixed. All right? That's keranami. Ekrasam. That's keranami. Third person singular, first person indicative active. She mixed. She mixed in a cup, a pokerion. A pokerion is a cup or a bowl. All right? That's something that holds something. The Word of God here says that false religion has filled up the cup of the indignation, the unjust acts, and this religion stinks all to high heaven. We hear that term. That's exactly what it says in Greek. It stinks to high heaven. He said, you mix to her the same mixture she gave to the world. The same horrible deeds that she gave to the world, you give her double. Hey, guys. I'm going to, old terms, the chickens have come home to roost. These are the old things. Paybacks. These are terms that we're familiar with from times past. And that's exactly what's happened here. Paybacks. He who laughs, laughs, laughs best. Paybacks. 18 and verse 7. Ezekiel 28, 2 through 8, and Zephaniah 2:15, 1 Timothy 5:11, Revelation, Isaiah 47, verse 7. These are all cross references to this verse right here that we're going to study. If you want to get them down, sometimes you have to get it off the tape easier than you can write all these notes down that fast. Hosah. Edoxah. Altain. Tai. Esther Niasen. Tosonton. Dote. Ate. Basinismu. Tai. Pentos. Cote. In. Te. Cardia. Altes. Lege. Cote. Tatime. Basilisa. Tai. Kero. Oop. Amy. Tai. Panthos. U. May. Idu. All right. By what things, that's what that word, first little word, hosah, means, by what things she glorified herself. And here is a word. Esther ni Asim. That comes from Strenao. Strenao. We get our word strain out of that. Strain. Strain with to practice something to the point of discomfort. To strain at something. And it says, and she glorified herself and she strained, she worked, she participated in wantonness and in lasciviousness. She was headstrong, stubborn at doing these things. And that's all in this word. To strain at sinning, to perfect sin, to work hard at it, lasciviousness. In this word, you see luxury. Luxury. You see the luxury that money and power affords. You see this in this word. She practiced revelry, wantonness. She worked at doing these things. No pain, no gain, they say. You know when you go on in these workout places? No pain, no gain. You've got to really hurt yourself to get bigger muscles. This girl was well exercised in revelry. She worked hard at it. She practiced by so much, she gave, he gave to her torment. Basi nismo. You give to her torment. And sorrow. Torment and sorrow. Grief. Because in the heart of her, she says, because I sit. The Basilisa. Basilisa. The queen. I sit as the queen. I sit as the queen on earth. I am the top dog. She said, I sit as a queen and the widow, not I am. I am not a widow, and sorrow know not I may see. As you look at time and days and hours and minutes and seconds. You know God makes us pretty one time so we can latch on to somebody and take them with us through this life. He does. Makes you pretty one time. Some people are pretty longer than other people are. But beauty is fleeting. Beauty is fleeting. This woman's beauty, this religious system had a lot of beauty to it. But it wasn't lasting. Beauty. You see beautiful movie stars and you see, oh, she was so beautiful when she was young. But look at her now. He was so handsome when he was young, but boy, he looks disgusting now. That's the way things happen. But this woman didn't think nothing would ever catch up with her. Your sins catch up with you. Time catches up with you. You look in the mirror when you get by age, and you look there and wonder who that dude is looking at you. Hair is falling out and it's growing out of your ears. Weird things are that your teeth are loosening up. You've got aches and pains where you didn't think you had places. This is days that get you. Tell my wife that day. It's not. It's days. She said, oh, well, I'm hurting. I said, it's those days. They creep up on you, don't they? All of a sudden, you put together 60 or 70 or 80 years of them. And you're creaking along. I was reading a little book to the kids in school the other day, and it said the old man got up out of bed, and his knees creaked. And his wife would listen to his knees creak every morning. He was trying to be young. But he creaked more every day. And she said, "Don't you think it's time for your retirement?" She said, "I'm doing fine." "I'm doing fine. I don't want to retire." She said, "Ruby, please, let's think about going to the mountains and retiring. You know, you're wore plumb out. Well, you got a little time left. Let's go get away from here." Finally, he realized that it was time to retire. "I won't see any sorrow," she says. "No, not." We have a double negative here. In English, a double negative is not good grammar, but in Greek, it makes double emphasis. Double trouble. "I am not going to be a widow. I am not going to see sorrow. I will not see it. I may not see it," literally is what it says. But guess what? God's got news for her. All the wickedness, all the people that have died deaths of torture down through history are going to be dumped on this wretched witch of false religion during the tribulation period. 18 and verse 8, this is our last verse. "Dia tuto,
in
mia,
camera,
exusa,
hae,
plege,
altes,
thonatos,
kai,
emptos,
kai,
limos, kai,
en
peri, kata ku te seka, hote,
exeros,
kyrios,
ho,
theos,
ho,
krinos,
alte."
Say, "I know you can read faster." Give you two words at once. Dia tuto. Dia tuto is a little phrase that means because of this. Dia tuto. We have dia, a little preposition, and tuto, a demonstrative pronoun. Because of this, in one day. And what it means here, in 1 hour, in one day. All of a sudden, suddenly, her glory changes to nothing. In one day, they shall come the plagues of her. And what are the plagues? Of life and the plagues. What are these plagues? We got a word plague from this. Plague, eh? Plague. What is a plague? They talked about the black plague of the Dark Ages, which was bubonic plague. They didn't know what in the world was going on back then.
Diseases.
Yeah. That's diseases, you know. It was fleas on the rats that were killing people. The fleas were carrying this bubonic plague. And the bubonic plague is even here up in the mountains. The rats and the pack rats and the ground squirrels carry it. You have to be careful when you go up there. So don't handle them. Don't handle those cute little old chipmunks or anything, because they can carry bubonic plague. Stay away from that stuff. The plagues of her. What are these plagues? Thanatos. Thanatos. What does thanatos mean? Death, but it means more than death. More than death. It's death, all right, but it's a separation. All of us die, don't we? When you die, what happens? Do you go out of existence? You immediately go into the presence of God. Or you're either in soul and body are separated. What do you do when you go to the store and you buy meat? It's wrapped up in really a nice wrapper. And it's got this little thing in the bottom of that meat tray that sops up all that blood so it looks real good, and you put a little coloring on and everything else. How many of you use that for decoration in your house after you save that? What does it smell like after a few days? I mean, you use up the meat, you know, and eat it. But what happens to this other stuff? You've got to throw it away. It belongs to it goes to the garbage pit, doesn't it? The garbage pit. God has a garbage pit for humanity and rebellious forces. That garbage pit is called hell. Hell is eternal. Hell is the place for refuse. Death. She's going to die the first death, but then she's going to die the second death. The second death is called hell. Hell and pento, sorrow, and limos, famine. She always had enough to eat. She always had enough to eat. Now she doesn't have anything to eat. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. And right over there in another place, everybody's got plenty of good stuff to eat. Plenty of good stuff to eat, and she doesn't have anything to eat. You remember Queen Antoinette? Remember her? She was an ignorant woman. She was a queen of France. And her husband, Louis. And they were looking down there, and all these people were outside the palace screaming and hollering, "We want bread! We want bread!" You know why they wanted bread? Because they were starving to death. And she looks down there, she says, "Don't they have any bread? Well, if they don't have bread, just let them eat cake instead." She couldn't fathom the idea of being without food. She was separated, her head was, from her body. It was just not too long after that. The queen. Sorrow and famine and in fire. Fury. You remember, how many ever played marbles when you were a little kid? Marbles. The period's a little clearer when you get older. Why just fire? Period. That's where that comes from right here. All right, from this word. She shall be consumed because strong, the Lord, the God, the one judging. Look at this word, krenos, the one judging. Actually, the one having judged. The one having judged her. How long ago did he judge her? How long ago did God judge this false religious system? At the nucleus of it. And he gave us plenty of examples all the way down to the ages. Don't play with false religion. Don't play with it. Because it's poison. It's just poison. God will not respect it. I remember my father's mother, my grandmother. She was a stubborn woman. And she used to go to church with me. I'd take her to church with me. She was sweet, but she was stubborn. And she had this girlfriend that had started a church, a religion. And she told everybody that if they would let her baptize them, that they would never die. They would never take death at all. They would never die. I mean physically. And she said nobody that she baptized would ever die if they would believe in her. And my grandmother told me, she said, "Jimmy, she really believes this. She really believes that. I want you to come and talk to her." And I said, "It's not going to do me any good to talk to her." I said, I'll be wasting my time. And then she asked me over one day, I refused to do it. And she asked me over to have lunch with her one day. She said, "Please," she said, "come over and have me lunch." And when I walked in the house, here's this woman. I was set up. Well, I talked to her. You know, she started in on me, and I started telling her the Bible, of course. You know, that's all I know. I just interpret the Bible. I just teach the Bible and let the Bible teach it. You know, to them. So I taught the Bible to her, and of course we said, "For it is appointed unto man wants to die. All of us have to die, as in Adam, all die." And I says, "You're talking about a false religious system and a false interpretation of God's word." And I said, "If you want to do this, you do all of it you want to." But I said, "I guarantee you one of these days, you're going to die." And boy, she was in tears and mad. And I said, I don't want to mess up your religion or anything like that. You've got a right to believe it. But I said, it's not according to God's word. You can believe anything you want to. But I said, I guarantee you, one of these days, you're going to understand you're wrong. And you're going to be in the immediate presence of God. And he's going to say, you're wrong. And you've led a lot of people astray, too. And of course, you know, that was bad. It didn't go over very good. 2 weeks later, she died. And my grandmother says, do you think that you hurt her faith so bad that she died? I said, no. I said, the Bible says, for it is not appointed unto man wants to die. Well, she didn't believe she was going to die. And I said, it don't make any difference whether she believes she's going to die or not. Well, don't you think you're responsible for her dying? I said, no. I said, God removed her spirit. She had founded her religion and her faith upon something that was false. And it wasn't me that did it. I had nothing to do with it. I couldn't make somebody die. Why? If I was wrong, I'd be wrong. But the poor woman died. And guess what? When she died, then all of her people realized that baptism didn't do them one bit of good. Because all of them were going to die too. Mary Baker Eddy. Self-healing, the science of mind and all that stuff. How many people have gone to something like that and believed with all their hearts and died just like the founder? The Word of God is our rule of faith and order and truth. And there are truths down in the Word of God that are set there and they will last for all eternity. They're not for just our time. They're for all eternity. I hope I unveiled some of them to you tonight, God's Word. Thank you for your attention. Father, thank you for your Word tonight. Forgive us for a failure. Thank you for helping me teach you, even as bad as I feel. I hope that your Word was glorified and you were glorified in it. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Go with us as we go out. Help us to be the witnesses you want us to be and examples that you demand for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.